The Viridian Nutrition range of 200-plus award-winning products includes vitamins, minerals, herbs, nutritional oils, specialty supplements, tinctures, and balms, all formulated to be healthful, efficacious, and pure. By choosing our Viridian Nutrition range, you are one step closer to your goal of 100% wellness. Ethical vitamins with an organic heart. Available at all Browns outlets. Browns and you.
So first of all, I'm going to introduce our guests. This first podcast is titled The Enemies to Empowerment, because I think we all can relate that there are things that stop us from being who we want to be. We are all part of that 60%. And hopefully we can walk away today with just a little bit more. But Fran Fenaconti is the founder of Women for Women. She is a women's empowerment icon in Malta. Fran joined us on the She Word in season 3 and also the recent Women Separation Divorce show in season 4. Fran is here to share the experiences of women that she has helped for over a decade through Women for Women.
Almost
a decade. Sarah Bayarda is here, is a TV presenter, book author. Sarah is also a mum, healthy lifestyle enthusiast, as well as committed to empowering other women who are facing challenges. Your separation journey started bang in the middle of COVID, and you were part of the separation and divorce show as well, along with Fran, and the response to that show was phenomenal. So I'm really glad that you're here as well. Thank you so much for being with us,
Thank
Sarah.
Thank you for having me.
Now, Melissa is South African-born, island mama influencer, originally as I knew you, wife of Maltese hubby, mother of three, including twins, and you've recently come back to Malta from a period that you spent in Portugal, a little back here for a while before you go back to Portugal, so I grabbed her. But one of the questions, so you were in season 1
yeah.
in the first parenting show, and I asked each of the guests, Tamara was there and Denise,
yes.
and I asked each of you what was most unexpected about being a mum, and your answer blew me away. And can I just have a show of hands? How many mums do we have today? We got a lot of mums. I'm pretty sure that this is going to resonate, because your answer when I asked you what was most unexpected about parenting was?
Mum guilt.
Anybody know about mum guilt? Anyone know about women guilt? Any women that feel guilt? Yeah, absolutely. And Maxine. Hello, Maxine Attard. Maxine is the lady that I just mentioned that had the show. We had the show about miscarriage, and is really why the She Word happened. So I'm really glad that you're here. And you're here because you started the conversations talking about things that are difficult. Mm-hmm. And so you're here because this is what we need to do. So I'm going to just start off with one question, one sentence. Of course, don't forget you can put your hands up. But one sentence for each of you guys, just in one sentence, define for me and for us what you think empowerment is to you. I'm going to start with you, Max. Throw you under the bus there.
Put me on the spot. Hello, everyone. Thank you for being here. Thank you, Trudy. You give me way too much credit for this. We're here because of you, so let's just put that out there. So I think empowerment to me, you touched on it on your welcome speech, is being seen and being heard. I feel like we're in a society that's built by men, for men. So it's kind of always a bit like, oh, but what about me? What about this? What about that? And I think something that's empowering for me is to be able to talk openly and safely and about the tough things. And that's why that famous day, I asked if I could speak about a miscarriage, because I was like, why am I at home not speaking about this? Like, so many women go through this. I need to talk about it. I need to hear other people going through it. So yes, I think being given a voice, being given a space and a voice is incredibly powerful. So thank you for allowing that.
Sarah, a sentence I asked for, but...
Sorry, I'm really not good at sentences, guys. I need to talk.
We just, the minute you give us the time to actually speak, we're just going to go all in for this. I believe that empowering someone, in my case, for example, is exactly like Maxine said, speaking about my story and getting feedback from people that I know that my story has helped them feel seen, feel understood. And instead of them just playing small and perhaps saying, no, I'm the victim in this situation, I know that these people are going to actually work and thrive. And that is what empowerment is to me.
Brilliant.
I'll keep mine very short. For me, what makes me feel empowered is independence. If I can do what I feel, you know, what makes me feel empowered is just that I can do what I want to do. I can go out, I can work, I can have freedom. I feel empowered if I don't need anyone else. It's nice to have someone, but if I can do something on my own as well and be independent, I feel empowered.
I heard a clap. There was someone that was like, yes, I agree with that. Fran, empowerment, what does that mean to you?
Definitely all the things that everybody mentioned, the independence. But for me, it's being treated as an equal in society, whatever we do in our homes, especially because I think a lot of women, there's still an imbalance of power in the workplace, in relationships, in most of our society, there's still an imbalance. So for me, relinquishing of power from the people and uplifting, so that's what's really empowering. If someone uplifts you to their level, where they're the powerful one, and you have that opportunity to go up to their level, that for me is someone empowering you and giving
that's
the opportunity.
Really interesting. Ladies here, have we missed anything out? Is there anything that anybody has to add to that? Have we missed out that any definition of what empowerment is? No, we're good. Ah, we have. I wanted to test it out. We have a hand.
Gail, you're going to do your steps today.
Hi. So it's knowing that you are enough in every single way, that no matter what you do, no matter what you say, it's enough. And you don't have to strive to be like anyone else, because who you are is perfect exactly the way that you are. And if you're making mistakes, that's okay. We all make mistakes, and that's how we learn. So, yeah, it's knowing that you are enough.
Oh. I love that. I love that, and thank you very much indeed. And as I'm hearing that, you know, I was sitting down to write the script for today, and I was thinking about, I had the privilege of sitting with Danae yesterday, and Danae's going to come and speak with us. And that's one of the things that was playing on my mind about, we are enough as we are. We are good enough. You know, this whole idea of being good enough. And I think it's one of the things that I want to touch on with each of you, because I'm gonna start with you, Melissa, because you mentioned this thing about guilt on the first parenting show. We've seen that so many people today can relate to that. Yeah. But I want to make sure that we're all seen, that we all understand what this is. So how did that parental guilt manifest itself? What are the effects on you and your family? And please, and you guys, join in. Anybody join in?
So for me, it started as soon as I fell pregnant. Yes, it started then, because then, you know, you probably have to change your lifestyle a bit, and you start preparing for the baby, and you start thinking, am I going to put my baby in disposable nappies, or am I going to, you know, do reusable nappies? What type of food you're going to eat? All of that, everything started playing in my mind. And I know where I got this from. It was because I compared myself to my mom. In my eyes, my mom was the best mom ever, and she did everything perfectly. Now I know it's not the truth. I love my mom, but she wasn't perfect. But in my mind back then, she was. So I started thinking about, you know, only organic clothing. Everything had to be absolutely perfect. Before I even had my child, I was already planning on how long I will breastfeed for. For me, in my mind back then, formula was an absolute no-no. People didn't talk about it the way they do now. I just always believed breast is best. So I had a lot of these things going on in my mind. And then once the baby was born, I quickly realized I can't, you know, fulfill all of these ideas that I had in my mind. But I still try to. And then, because I was trying to do it, I became burnt out. It really took a toll on me. And I did that for at least the first, I would say, year and a half, where I really beat myself up for every single thing that I did. Then, when that kind of subsided, new things started. So then it was, you know, sleeping. how long is the baby going to sleep with us in the room? When are we going to transfer her to her own room? Feeling guilty about the fact that she is going to go to her own room. Just absolutely everything made me feel guilty. And it still does today, but now I have twins as well. And I think a lot of mothers would agree. Once you have your second or third child, you do end up relaxing a little bit. I did relax with, you know, the eating and stuff like that. But now the guilt is about how I'm raising them. So what will they turn out to be one day? Am I going to mess them up in any way? I think someone raised their hand. Okay.
Yeah. I'm hearing that resonate with everyone was like, yes. Resonating in the room.
Oh, sorry. Carry on. Okay.
Donna's just agreeing. She's just cheering you on.
Well,
I'm going to actually, if you don't mind, I'm going to ask Donna a question because Donna over there has two grown boys. They are 20 and 20 something. So 21 and 24. How long does that, and anybody else who has grown up children, how long does that guilt start? How long does that guilt stay with you?
Does it ever end?
I don't think so.
The guilt for me ended, but the worry never does. The worry about my son, you know, is he okay? Is he doing fine? Is he happy, you know? But the guilt, yes, I lost that one. Thank you. Thankfully, 20 years later.
So I do still feel guilty if I'm working late and I didn't maybe get something out so that he can feed himself. He feeds himself. I don't actually do that much for him. But I feel guilty for that too. I don't think the guilt ever ends. But the question I wanted to ask you was, do you think the guilt that pretty much I think every mother feels is coming from a place of personal guilt or we think we're being judged?
For me, that's actually a really good question. For me, it was judged. Yeah.
By whom?
By my mom.
Absolutely by our mothers.
Yeah. And I mean, yes.
Everyone.
For me, I was really scared. And oh, she's going to watch this. But yes, I like I said, I felt like she was perfect. And she would make me understand today that, I mean, I should not have felt like that. But I do feel like I felt like I was going to be judged by my mom and by other people as well, but mostly by my mom.
Wow. Can I tell you, I'm not a mom, and I probably speak for all other women in the room who are not moms, that you guys who are moms have made another human being. And that's all I see. Is that you guys have had the capacity to create, carry, and nurture, bring up another human being. So for me, who's not a mum, I'm just blown away by that. When you said guilt, it makes me incredibly sad because I'm thinking to myself, if only I could help you realize how much I am amazed by mums, working mums, single mums, stay-at-home mums, all mums. You're all bloody amazing, seriously. And I'm just really, when you said it, that's why we're having this conversation. When I said it, I'm pretty sure there's a lot of women who feel seen today because they relate to exactly to what you were saying. Mm-hmm. Does anybody have anything else to add to that? Whoa, we have a lady over here. Yes.
I think guilt arises from the fact that society wants us to be perfect. So we are afraid that our daughters or son will judge us, or else they will think that we are disappointing them. For instance, I will talk for myself. When I fight with my daughter, I'm afraid, I'm guilty that I'm disappointing her, or else that I'm lacking her to be perfect, because everybody wants his daughters and sons to be perfect.
Sarah, you had something to add to that.
I think what I would like to add to this, in my case, it wasn't about feeling guilty about these things. For me, it was kind of having my life and being a mom at the same time. Mm-hmm. Because obviously there are two contradicting things, especially when you go through separation and divorce. Because you kind of have to get on back on your life mm-hmm. while having to care for a baby. So in my head, it was like, am I kind of disrespecting my son because I'm actually thriving in my career, if I'm focusing on my career? I mean, I see this. I think this is all part of conditioning. It's a society conditioning. I see this from my niece. She's turning 2 next week. And she has her baby doll. So wherever we go, this baby doll comes with us. Whereas I see my son. My son just cares about his cars. And he couldn't give... he couldn't give a damn about anything else. But us as moms, especially us as women, we are conditioned that we need to take care of other people. So I, in my case, my guilt was I always have to take care and make sure that Sam is okay before I am okay. So if it's today, I didn't come to do my makeup here because I didn't want to leave Sam for the whole day alone with my mom, because I know that that will make me incredibly guilty. My career is so full on that I need to make sure that I give him the same time that I spend on my career. So for me, that is my guilt part. The food comes as well, because obviously I stay up late, I stay baking him everything homemade. So yes, I do get that as well. A lot.
Sorry, I don't have kids and I don't bake, you know what I'm saying? And I'm telling you, nobody wants to have anything that I bake. Fran wanted to add into that.
I wanted to add something. This caring that is always on the mothers or on women is a big barrier to empowerment in a lot of things. So I see it with... women who write to me and say, like, listen, because I have to look after my mother, for example. Mm-hmm. She's really sick. I can't keep up my job. I have to work, but I have to reduce my hours, or the children now. A lot of women who aren't privileged to have help or to be able to get help, it's really, you lose your voice and you lose your job. You lose your life finishes if you don't have support.
Exactly. You know? It's like our whole identity in reality. Mm-hmm. Like, I am who I am because I've always been in television. I have my own things. I have my purpose. And the minute that is stripped away from me because I was caring about Sam only and I was having my full focus on Sam, Sarah was getting depleted. Mm. So then I kind of had to reshift my focus.
For sure. And this happens all the time.
I'm going to just add into this one of the other things, and there's a lady just at the front here with beautiful blonde hair who's going to speak in just a second. But one of the things that you just said, and I'm going to come past across to Max, is that, I'm not a parent, but one thing I keep hearing, and I'm going to ask for a raise of hands, one thing that I've heard so many times on the She Word, every show that is about parenting, is women reference their loss of identity. Anybody relate to that, that they've lost their identity?
I it's funny, I never felt that I lost who I was. Recently, I just returned to the theater. I did a musical called Cabaret. My experience in that was, it was funny, because I never felt I lost. I was so happy with James and being a mom. I've always wanted to be a mom. And then after our first miscarriage, I just was so distraught. And so it was this amazing thing. So please don't get me wrong. I'm really, really happy to be with James. And it's like my full-time thing at the moment. You know, just that thing that you have called a son. well, sometimes I talk about what
I love her.
No wine, actually. This
no,
is
I'm
just
pouring
me.
The wine, but no one's...
But I went back to the theatre. And I was in rehearsal rooms every day. And I was at the theatre and I just felt... Now, this is where guilt comes in, because mm-hmm. I felt the happiest I felt in a long time, the most fulfilled, the most like me that I felt since I had my son.
That's
now, if he watches this in the future, he's going to be like, hey. But it's true, because
yes,
I absolutely love him, and I love sitting on the floor playing with him. I take him out every day. I want to do everything with him.
A happy
and
mom is a better mom.
It
a happy
fills
mom
me
is
so
a better
much,
mom.
But yeah. That is my passion. That's my life. That is who I am. So yes, maybe I did lose myself a bit because I was like, where has this been? I've missed this so much. And
until
I did choreographing
get
jobs. I did small jobs in between. But being like in a musical, in my element, I was like, I'm not giving that up. So yes, there's guilt. I left him every day at 4 p.m. and I was sick, so I was exhausted the next day. So my aunt would come, my mother-in-law, my sister-in-law, anyone was there to help me, my sister, my husband, everyone. It took a village for me to be able to do this show. Nice. But I would go upstairs and rest in the morning. Then I would come down and be with James. And then I would leave him till midnight and come back at 1 in the morning, you know. And I told myself, this is for you. You have to do this.
Can I just add? And you were lucky to be able to do that because you had the support.
So blessed.
That is what how you empower people. You give them the tools that they need to do what they want to do. 100%. You don't tell them, I think you should do this. I think, what is it you really want to do? Mm-hmm. Oh, you want to study. How can I help you to study?
Yes.
You need babysitting after work. You know, what is it you need? You know,
I think if years go by and I never got back to the theater in this way, then I would lose myself.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I would feel like, who is this person? Mm-hmm. Where is your passion? Where is your purpose?
Exactly.
Besides James, as Maxine.
Yes.
Not as James's mummy, as Maxine.
And so they were lucky that you saw people.
And I tell them, I promise you, and I know where are the cameras. I tell them all, like, I could not have done this without the army of people that were there to help me, whether it was cooking or cooking for James or being with him or everything. Like,
But obviously, it's a different generation as well. Let's not forget, for example, in your case, when you mentioned the guilt that your mom might actually judge you, their times were different than ours. Like, nowadays,
exactly.
I work full time, I do television, I do Instagram, I'm here on shows, I have another live show tonight.
Yeah.
It's like I'm on this roller coaster all the time that I have to manage and juggle everything at one go. So from that aspect, at times even my mom tells me the same thing. She's like, you need to slow down because Sam needs you there as well. I'm like, I'm doing my best. Don't tell me that. Hello. I'm doing my best.
She should tell you, bring Sam whenever you need.
No, she does. She does. And bless her.
We're moving back to Malta from Prague shortly, and I'm putting my babies. We'll do babysitting, hun.
Good.
We've got a whole business to do babysitting. he's saying the back saying no.
So this hits home in so many ways, and because I'm a mom to three little kids as well. And when I hear all of you speaking, it's like yes, we have, unfortunately, this comes from a society that a number of you have mentioned, that we are made as women to live in a community, all of us together. We are made to support each other. And that's where the nurture comes in, like where we need to take care of our kids, of our loved ones, because it is innate in us. But at the same time, society puts so much pressure on us that we have to be at the same level as men, which is impossible for us. We can, a lot of people tell you, you can do all, we can juggle everything, but the root of it is that we cannot do everything to the same extent, to the same level, at the same time. Something has to give, definitely, and that mom guilt comes from that feeling that you have to wear so many hats at one day and one time, which is, it's not the root where we're coming from as women. And where we want is freedom to be ourselves, freedom to express ourselves, freedom to be who we want to be for our kids without judgment, without feeling like, are we doing enough? Is my kids, am I a bad mother? Without like letting go of everything, what everyone is saying, and just be ourselves. I think that is the most important thing that I've learned
as
being a mom.
Absolutely. And I would just like to remind, I reminded myself about this recently. Women in the workplace, women at work with careers, is a relatively recent phenomenon.
Yeah.
It's post-war.
Yes.
Before then, we as women generally had different roles. We were not aiming to be C-levels. We were not aiming to be influencers, or we were not aiming for any of this. This is something that's happened in just 70 years, 75 years. And because of that, we are adjusting to the biggest change in millennia. And I think we give ourselves a hard time. Are we good enough? Are we working hard enough? Have we made it far enough? This is the biggest social adjustment in millennia. And for mums, it's even bigger. And I think that's where we need to give ourselves a bit of a break. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, for sure. Let's sink in for a second, actually.
But the men have to step up as well.
Well, that goes without saying.
You know, they have
Duncan.
To...
No, I'm sorry. No.
What I mean is in the family life, they have to share more, because that takes a lot of the... I think women are equal until we have children. We're equal in the workplace. Nowadays, we can progress in our society.
I'm going to step in as a non-mum. Can I get other yes. non-mums to agree? I don't think we are equal in the workplace. I'm just going to put my hand up. And anybody else agree that
on paper we are.
Not even on paper. Only 5%.
The laws are right, but they're not. People are not. For example, there should be women on boards, but nobody's saying, like, listen, you have to bring the women on board.
We have a, in one of the podcasts, I mentioned a statistic that it would take 136 years before we, as our current trajectory, that women will be in the equal equal place to men. And that, again, this is not bashing men. No. We've only been 70 years at this, and we've got millennia of structure that we have to reconfigure. So it's not a case, I think, of bashing men. No, I think it's a case of us empowering each other. I had this podcast the other day. I did a live podcast, and I said, how can we help each other? And it's we need to stop talking about quotas. We need to stop talking about how many people we have at sea level, how many we did in that. Those are important conversations, but what we need to do as women is encourage each other on this base level, on this ground level, right here, right today, right now, and that's what we can take away. The rest is going to be slower to adjust. Yeah.
I agree with everything you said, but there's privilege, remember, and power. And that's why the women who have the privilege and the power have to move, or the men have to make space to uplift the others. Mustn't forget it. The ones who have the power, have the privilege, have to always try and uplift the ones.
Absolutely agreed. We're going to move a little bit away from the, and I'm going to stay with you for a second, Fran, because we're going to move away from the parenting conversation. But do, if you have anything else to say, do just make us aware of, oh, hello, before we move away, we have someone else.
Hi, can I just say that I'm not a mom, but I do feel guilt in another way, sort of, I feel guilt that I'm the daughter that has events to go to, and I leave my mom because she takes care of my dad, and sometimes it feels very guilty that I need to help, I need to do more, and I can't. So I know you guys are saying guilt with regards to mom, it's just the daughters and sons can have the same guilt.
Very much so, very much. In fact, can I add something on that note?
Well, I was passing to you.
That's so true, because for many years I felt a lot of responsibility for my mother, who had very, spirited relationship with my dad. And I used to drive her everywhere. I did it very happily, but at my own expense. Mm. You know, for many years, when I was 38, I realized I need to start saying no, I need to put boundaries, I need to look after myself. I have a child who was, by this time, 10 years old. I couldn't give, there's so much you can give, like someone else is saying, said, you know, there's so much you can give. So look after yourself in that way, you know, learn boundaries. You help your mom always, you help everyone, but even I get messages all night, you know, but at a point I say, now I need to close my phone and I need to watch that series that I've been wanting to watch. Mm-hmm. I want to go to that party that I really wanted to go. I want to go out to buy that dress that I really need to go. You know, so don't feel guilty. You have your life, you have one.
Mm-hmm. I think, Julie, you have to remove that guilt.
You know, you have one life, and do it. Try and talk to her. Some parents won't even realize that they're doing it. Some people will realize, but my mom took it really against me. How do you say it? Bless her soul.
God bless her soul.
Bless her soul. You know, she couldn't understand that I had my life then, and I still was always there for her. But then I wouldn't answer the 10 calls a day. I would answer, she's fine, I know, I'll call her tomorrow morning, you know. So just look after yourselves, because you can. I went to therapy to get over this, you know, this guilt of feeling responsible for my parents. Mm-hmm. And we should make our children feel responsible for us. We are responsible for them. That is the way that it works.
Thank you.
Sorry, because it resonated with me what you said.
Not at all. And I think it's a really valid point, because as I said, I wanted to move on from just being parent guilt to being complete guilt. We as women have this great label that we carry around with us, right? Don't we? Don't we feel guilty that we're not We're not thin enough. We're not fit enough. We're not fast enough. We're not. We don't have a better presence. We don't achieve more. We don't. We're not better parents. What is with us women that we carry this guilt?
Society puts a big burden on us. Yes. I think.
Sure. But don't we see like the difference? Like you said, I mean. I don't know, I'm going to speak for myself, but I can give you 100 examples. I have an older brother and a younger sister. And honestly, my brother won't watch this, so it's fine. He was so chill. Like, there was no worry. There's no pressure on him to... My mom was sick she got diagnosed with cancer and passed away 7 years ago. But I was like, are you going to come to Malta? He lived abroad, you know. I think it's time you came now. But he wasn't the carer. He was there. He was supportive. He was with us. But it was me and my sister. Yes. And even now, I see it with family members, let's say. I'm not going to mention any names. Family members who it's like the boys. Are just, I have a son. I mean, I swear to God, if that little... doesn't call me on my birthday. It. What the hell? Like, doesn't it? I mean, what? Like, what are we bringing up here? Like, no, sorry. What? Why does it have to be the women to think always about their mothers and the boys don't even phone them? Like, did you phone your mom today? No. Why not? You know, like, I just feel like it's just the women. Naturally, I don't know, you mentioned that we're natural caregivers. We're naturally inclined. It's in us. So maybe there's that. Maybe they're just made differently.
I think society has society as well. Some fathers can be, I mean, a lot of men are very good fathers, sorry.
I think that to let go this guilt issue, Pinocchio provides the perfect solution. And he has, in the film, there is this quote, and it says, we are doing our best, and that is the best anybody can do. And if we say that all the time, I mean, that's beautiful, and I'm a mother of two, I'm a working mother, I'm a single mother, all sort of hats. And in that way, I am eliminating these guilt feelings to be able to juggle all the hats. So I think that's beautiful, and that's something that I wanted to share with you all.
Absolutely. Thank you. Thank you. I'll just interject, this is my last word on mothers, but I did have a live podcast with a company recently, and it was an incredible experience. It was so much more than I could possibly have hoped for. And we sat there, and these women were just sharing and crying, and this woman was saying, I had a panel like this, and everybody was taking part. And this lady sat next to me, she said to me, I feel so guilty about being here, pursuing what I want to do, my career and also my pursuits, that what I do is I overcompensate with my daughter. Mm-hmm. And so I take her to extracurricular activities and I make sure that she has whatever she wants. And this lady at the back there, she was about my age, she said, I'm just going to tell you, they won't remember that. The only thing they'll remember is the time that you spent with them.
Yes, very true.
And I'm not a mum, but it blew me away because I started thinking about it as a daughter. As a child, and I can't remember what I had for Christmas, except for a Barbie doll that I cut all their hair off. But I can't remember much of that, but I can remember the times I spent with my parents when we went to the beach or we did whatever. And it was very profound that she would say that. I want to move on from that. I want to ask a question about ladies in Women for Women. Because I want to just ask a question, and we're going to come to just talking about relationships. We are, of course, wonderfully running close to time, as always. We're going to come to relationships in a bit of a second, so if anybody has a thought about relationships and how that holds us back. But before we get there, I want to ask you, Fran, you are a woman who has spoken to thousands of women. And I want to ask you, what is the most surprising an unexpected but common cause of women not being able to be or do what they want to do?
Fear of being judged. Yeah. Fear of being judged. That's why there's so many anonymous posts. Fear of everybody knows everybody in Malta, you know. Everybody knows. I mean, you can see from the posts, you know, that everyone is scared to ask a simple question, and they'll ask it anonymously. You know, it's about thinking that, oh, she's going to see my comment and she's going to think something And in reality, I don't know, because I don't feel I judge anyone. So it's difficult for me to understand that there's this fear between women, you know. So that's why I try to make sure that people are sharing. And I don't try to silence anyone, the voices. And what I found is they find it very easy when I get private messages to talk to strangers. Because when someone doesn't know you, it's much easier to talk to a stranger because they don't know your past, they don't know what you've been through. So the fear of, I think, being judged or someone talking about you, you know, saying, Mara, you saw? And I think this was a bit the old mentality in Malta. I don't think it happens so much anymore. I don't know.
I think now it's the other way around.
I think we're becoming more, but the fear is still there.
We're having more women who are actually speaking about their experiences. Yes. And we need more of these
fear.
Women
There's still
that
a lot of
speak
fear.
About yeah. things
I
that are normal.
I was talking to a couple here before the event. They were saying, I would never share because they, you know...
And it's not for everyone.
No, it's not
yes,
everyone.
Exactly.
It's not for everyone,
after,
for sure.
After our podcast, for example, the amount yes. of messages that I received...
Overwhelming.
...was yes. overwhelming. Mm-hmm. And the first thing that that people were pointing out was, thank you, because I feel seen, I feel okay. validated, I feel that finally someone actually took it up mm-hmm. to actually speak about it, not this big, huge elephant in the room. I mean, divorce is something normal. Separations became something normal. Even kids are accustomed to having like mm-hmm. two separate families. So for them, it's normal. So why is it not that we are speaking so openly about it? Why is it that we are judged about it?
I think there's always, I think when I start unpicking, or at least in my experience, I try to unpick, I always try and go at a level... This might be the therapy background now coming in, but it's true because you have to sort of really unlayer it all. And it comes down, in my experience, down to shame.
Yes.
Now, it's important to recognize whether the shame is your own or if it's the fear of being
yes.
shamed, fear of being judgment. And we go back to, it links
yes,
back
exactly.
to what we've been
but
saying.
But you know what helps me get through that shame? So even if what we spoke about might have made a couple of people uncomfortable, but it helped so yeah. many women feel seen.
Oh my God, of course.
And that is why I keep on doing it. That is why I post the type of content that I post on my social media, because I want to empower women that, listen, yes, you are going through a bad time, but this too shall pass. And thankfully, you are going through that, and at the moment, you are surviving. Mm-hmm. But I want you to understand also that one day you will start thriving. Mm-hmm. And that is the difference. For the longest time, everyone used to tell me, I admire how strong you are. I admire how strong you are. I don't want to be strong. I want to be powerful, mm-hmm. to use my story to actually help other women. And that is why I came on the podcast and I'm here again today.
Yay. You just said something that really resonated. I don't want to be strong, I want to be powerful.
Right,
and I think
word.
That's
yeah. empowerment.
So, and it was really interesting. We're coming to Sarah in just a second. It is your time.
But we have to jump in, because we talk too much.
Yes, we will just take no show.
But when I asked that question of you, I said, what stops women from being who they are? I was expecting you to say, I know, socioeconomic circumstances or whatever. I was not expecting judgment. But the minute you said it, all three of these ladies are nodding frantically because they're agreeing with you. Sarah.
Can we give her a round of applause, please? And these are the type of women that feel but still have the strength to speak and empower the women. Brava.
I stopped myself from speaking about my story because of this very reason. I get emotional when I speak about my stories, and I keep telling myself, I'll speak when I can share my story without crying. But every time I bring it up, I get emotional. And at work, for example, whenever I cried because I got overwhelmed, they're like, stop being a baby. And I feel, my question is, how do you remain empowered while saying your story? Because I don't want to say my story for pity. I'm tired of the you're strong. I'm tired of you keep it together so well. I just want to share my story and not feel like I'm being a baby because I keep repeating stories. Because yeah, how do you remain empowered while still sharing your truth?
Can I
just
ask
did, Albie. You just did it.
You just spoke in front of everyone with tears in your eyes.
And you are not being a baby. You have that beautiful gift, which is emotion. So use that emotion and use that passion that you have to actually voice your own story.
You know what the most strongest way
is? It will actually help you get over. Sure.
The strength comes, the vulnerability is your strength.
I know, it's that's like I'm strength. So scared of being seen as weak because I'm crying, but I just want to speak. I just want to share.
So can I tell you something? May I tell the XFM story?
No.
Okay, I'm going to tell you a story. I've told this story at least, I don't know, 100 times. And I can never tell this story without getting emotional.
Jay, touch-ups, please, Waradi.
And for me, the fact that I am emotional about it, and this story, I've said it 100 times, for me, that's where the power comes from, because I can empower other people through it. Max came on my radio show. I used to be a radio DJ on XFM, Big Drive Home on XFM with Trudy Kerr. And I asked Max to come on the show. She was talking about a theatre production that she was in, and we sat down. And we were talking, and Max turned around to me at one point. We didn't know each other that well. And Max turned around to me, and she said to me, how are you after the accident? And I said, what accident? And she said, the horse riding accident. I said, how did you know about the horse riding accident? She said, because it was my mum that found you and put you in recovery. Now, I had 2 brain hemorrhages and ruptured spleen, and I was told at hospital that whoever found me, put me in recovery, saved my life. And I looked at Max, and I knew that her mum had died 2 months previously of cancer, and I would never be able to say thank you. And we cried our eyes out, you remember? We sat there, and we played 3 songs back to back, and my station manager got a tiny bit pissed off. And we just bawled our eyes out, and we've been friends ever since. And I'm telling you, I've never told that story without getting choked up. And I don't think that there should be any shame in getting emotional about our stories. We own those stories, and those stories are those assets that we have in our back pocket that we survived, that we own, and no one can take them away. So if we get emotional because we're proud of them,
it's not weakness.
Then can we I share, do you mind if I share as well? So I my mom was a single mom, right? And I promise to God, I never saw her cry. She was the strongest woman in the world. She never cried. She never showed us, really. But what that gave me, God bless her, because she was a great mom, but that gave me this crying is weakness vibe. It gave me, I have to be really strong. I can't cry. And then I started working for this wonderful lady, and she would cry all the bloody time. And I used to find it so alien. It's like, quiet, my God, she does anything makes her cry. And I thought, that's so strange. She must be very weak. And then it took me so much work on myself after losing my mom, after going through a burnout, after a breakup, after everything, to realize, like, that's actually so strong to sit here in front of you all, I don't know half of you, with tears in my eyes, to go on national TV and cry like a baby with snot coming out my nose, to be known as the judge who cries all the time. I mean, it just, I opened up something that now, honestly, whether you're happy, sad, angry, frustrated, I get teary. Seeing you tear up makes me tear up. Yes. But it unlocked something. And I realized that the armor, the Parsi armor that I was wearing to be so strong was weighing me down so much, was detrimental to my mental and emotional health. I took that off. And I'm free now. And I don't care if I cry on TV. I don't care if I cry on a podcast. It's sometimes I go, sorry, I'm not even apologizing for it. Hanipki, I mean, you know, you feel. And it's so important. People want to see that. They don't want to see a robot.
Thank you. Thank you so much. I really needed to hear this. And it reminded me, I went to a solo trip in Berlin recently, and I booked myself a class that I never been to. And it was like a dance therapy where you just move, let your emotions flow and whatever. And at the end of the class, we did this like meditation, and they're like, whatever emotions come out, just let it out. And I was there with practically strangers in a country I don't know. And I started like crying my heart out. And then after I started crying, another girl started crying, and then another girl started crying, and then all of us came together. She's like, thank you for that you started crying, because you made me feel unashamed to kind of cry. And now you telling me that I can cry while speaking, I can cry on a podcast, I can film myself and cry if I fucking want to cry. Like, and it's, I think, yes, thank you. Thank you.
Hi. I wanted to just say that I think the more you say your story, the more powerful it becomes, because it reaches more people to empower them.
Yes, 100%. You have no idea how many people you can help. I don't even know your story. I mean,
1,000%.
Yeah, mama
and
mia.
It's funny because at times, like, people will ask you, if you had to change something, what would it be? I'm like,
nothing.
I don't want to change anything out of what I've been through. I would redo everything exactly the way it did. It hurt. It hurt a ton. I cried endless days, endless years, actually. Up until one day I said, you know what? I'm actually going to use the story to help strengthen myself and to help other women to understand that this is normal. And yes, there was a time where I was lost. I had no idea what's going to happen. I had no idea how I'm going to actually live another day with all this pain. But then again, I know now I am who I am because of what I've been through. I am here on the stage speaking about the story in general. And I've went on the podcast and shared my heart out. And I did so passionately because I've been through what I've been. And that is who Sarah is today. Mm-hmm. And that is where the shift changed.
Yep.
I'm no longer surviving now.
I'm not hiding it either.
I don't need to hide it. It's something that happened.
Yeah.
And it's something that, thank God, I managed to put myself through the pain. And I saw the other side of it. And trust me, I do cry. I am the crybaby of the whole family.
And when you post it or when you share it, it's not like you just, okay, there you go. I'll be shaking though. Like to post about a miscarriage, I was a wreck. I couldn't even look at my phone. I didn't want to know. Or on TV or when I'm talking to even my husband, when I have to have a hard conversation, I'll be like a leaf, like my jaw shaking. And the vulnerability comes out like that. It's horrible. It's so much easier to be safe in your little bubble or your shell. Totally. That's so safe. But that's not living 100%. That's not living like fully. You know, there are all different emotions.
I'm going to come to Sasha in just a second. I just want to share something else. Just while you were speaking about this, and my husband's standing at the back here. Hello. and I'm going to say something about him. Because we had a podcast that was about, I think it was about empowerment. Who was on the empowerment podcast? Who is here that was on the empowerment cover? Mm-hmm. We had a podcast about empowerment. And one of the things that we were discussing in that that really blew my mind away, it might have been life balance. And it was the ladies around the table all say, I definitely lose my shit and I break down and I cry and I scream at my husband from time to time. And I was like, you're serious? I thought it was just me. Hun, it's not just me. These women do it too. But isn't it a case?
I do it.
But isn't it a case that we think we're the only ones doing it? We think we're the only ones crying. We think we're the only ones that break down. We think that we're the only ones that get overwhelmed. This morning, you know, I had a little moment. I was like, oh, I've been presenting now for 8 days straight, and Aid had to come along and just ask me if I wanted some calms, actually. But, I always think that I'm the only one that's going through it, and I think this is the point of this. Is that we are not the only one going through it. Everybody's going through it, but it's a conversation that we rarely have, but that we really bloody well should. Sasha.
Craig. So I think anyone that knows me well knows that I cry all the time. I cry when I'm angry, I cry when I'm sad, I cry at any minor inconvenience. Honestly, during the last few months, I can't remember a day when I didn't cry. But as someone who has been told that I'm an attention seeker for crying, even though that I literally cannot control it, I wish I could. As someone who has been told that she's too sensitive by like past people that I worked for, I can't stress how refreshing it is to hear this right now and like to feel this sense of community. And you know, we're all empowering each other in this very moment. I was just about to cry now, in fact.
I just say that it is, because people can't handle the emotion that's coming at them. So it is, with me crying or me upset or me angry, it is more, it says more about them and their reaction and how they are feeling than about you.
you can't handle because I am upset because you don't know what to do.
Yeah.
Just don't do anything. Just be. Just sit. Exactly. Just sit with me in silence. Don't say anything. That's what I tell my husband when I met him 2 days before my mother died. The grieving process. We didn't have a honeymoon period. We had a grieving process. He sat with me and he used to look at me miskin. And once he told me, don't think of Haru. And I was like, what? Now, if I need to cry to the point I'm going to throw up, he stays next to me and he doesn't say a word and he's just there. But I took a long time to be able to do that with him. But I feel it in work, in anyway, in friendship. Sometimes they're so awkward, they don't know what to do with it, their own feeling.
I feel like men try and always find solutions.
Everyone tries to find solutions.
Yes, and
there isn't a solution to your mother dying. Sorry, there's nothing you can tell me.
Just sit there and be there with me.
Or anything. Like Sasha, you were saying, I don't know what it is that people make, you know, you'd be upset about something and they tell you you're making a fuss. No. They are feeling uncomfortable with whatever that situation is. Do not let them tell you you are a drama queen, you are a fussbot. And I'll throw the table up if you have to. Do what you have to do. I mean, obviously, try not. But, you know, as in, I don't want anyone to put a boundary on anyone and anyone's feelings. Let them out. There's never rude. You don't need to be rude. And if you are rude, you apologize. You know, and I've been rude. Hands in the air. I've been rude. I've had to apologize to many, many people because I'm very... Mediterranean, electric, I don't know, irate, you can call me whatever you like. But then I sizzle down and I go, okay, yes, that probably was uncalled for. Let me give them a call and say, I'm really sorry I blew up like that. But I'm not apologizing for feeling the way I felt.
Yeah.
I'm apologizing for maybe my reaction to it. But I've noticed that...
I needed to hear that today. That's something I need.
It's sometimes it's the friend who's a bit like, oh, I don't know how to cope with this. But it's about them, not you. So
for me, I needed to hear that today. I needed to hear that we don't apologize for feeling what we feel.
No.
We can only control our reaction.
Definitely. Absolutely not.
I'm going to ask these ladies to prepare themselves because very shortly we're going to go for brunch, which I'm excited about.
Me too.
But I'm going to ask you to prepare yourselves. At the end of every podcast, I ask for closing thoughts. It's a sentence.
Oh, God, I'm not good at sentences.
You remember the bit at the beginning that was meant to be a sentence? It's a bit more.
Yes.
But we have a lovely lady here that I want to hear from first.
I just want to say something on the sense of community and the judgment topic, that it is very sad to hear that we mostly fear judgment from other mothers or other women. We don't fear judgment from men because that's rarely the source of judgment. And I'm not Maltese, but I'm coming from a culture where the competition between women is really fostered since childhood. We are comparing ourselves to each other. We are competing with each other for professionally, for attention of the men, or whatever that might be. And honestly, I spent very long time finding it within me that because I was brought in a culture that was fostering that, and then fighting it and turning it around into this sense of community and support, because I feel like there's actually like some kind of a world plot trying to pit women against each other, because when we come together, that's we can solve most of the problems.
For sure.
Divide and rule. It's called divide and rule. They used to divide us, you know? Divide us and they can rule. And that's what the men did.
But I'm going to come back with that. And I'm just going to reiterate what I said before. That our culture has changed so dramatically in the last 70 years, 60 years, post-war, even in the last century. It's changed so dramatically that we as a society are still trying to catch up with it. And you're absolutely right. Women, we were talking about this last night, women are pitched against each other because, let's take sports sponsorship revenue, for instance. Only 1% of global sports sponsorship revenue goes to women. So women are fighting for that 1%. Only 5% of C-level people are women, 5%. So we're not fighting on a playing level to men. We're fighting between ourselves because we know there's only 5% or there's only 1%. And I'm just going to reiterate, this is a recent thing. This is 70, 80 years. So I think that is where now we can shift to empower each other without having to say, well, you know, this is what guys did to us. Let's not even have that conversation because Duncan's here. Let's not have that conversation. Let's change our mindset that if we pull ourselves together, we will no longer be fighting for that 1%. We'll be fighting for 50%. We'll no longer be fighting for that 5% of CEOs or C-levels. We'll be fighting for an even playing field because we are making the change. But exactly that, we need to be coming together. Closing thoughts.
Not me first, true.
Oh, for goodness sake.
Let me think. Melissa.
Okay, so I think everyone needs to sit down and really think what does not make you feel empowered. And you have to really dig deep. For instance, what does not make me feel empowered is I compare a lot. So it's an enemy that I have, and I compare. And I had to find ways how I can eliminate comparison. So whether it even means you're on social media and you need to unfollow people that don't make you feel good, it's got nothing against them. If it doesn't make you feel good, do that for yourself. Do whatever you need to and what you can in order to make you feel empowered and not work against it.
I love it. No, I could not agree with you more. Because obviously, like in today's society, we see all these perfect bodies, all these perfect families, all these perfect homes. I'm not one of them. Like if you come at my house today, it's like someone just got in, robbed the whole damn thing and just left out. But that is who I am, and that is what I post on my social media. My tummy, if you come see my tummy, it's full of stretch marks and stuff. That is who I am. It gave me a beautiful baby boy, a 4-kilo baby, please note. That is the reality of life. And with regards to what I kind of touched base before, I believe that everyone has his own battlefield. Understand how you're going to get out of that battlefield. Because outside of that ring is the stronger you that will make you actually succeed and find your own purpose.
Yes.
There's no way I'm doing this in one sentence, Trude. Mm-hmm. I'm feeling. I think it's just being okay. So I'm thinking again personally, empowering myself. I'm thinking, okay, how do I feel empowered? Removing all the layers, removing all the expectations and the what I this and this one's doing this. Like you said, just being true to who I am and what I want out of this life, and going. Really going for that and just being like, this is me, this is what I want, no one's going to tell me otherwise, and that's empowering.
Fran, didn't you say we only have one life?
Mm-hmm. Yes, and trust women, trust each other, don't fear collaboration, work together, don't compete, you know, we have so much in us, we don't need to compete,
celebrate.
We can share the power, we can share the space, we can share the voice, you know, that's all, share, be there for each other, and we'll empower each other. It's very simple, you know. Share your space, share your power, and remember, your privilege uplifts someone with you. And forget all the things we learned in which we were told about other women, that women are this, women are that. We're really not. We're capable, we share, we're good, we're powerful.
Brilliant. Ladies, I want to say thank you very much indeed, and for everybody that spoke.
Thank you.
Thank you, Tutu. Thank you for having the courage to speak up. Thank you for sharing. And I really appreciate every single one of you speaking up as well.